Great job. Hallelujah. What'd they say now? This is the day that the Lord had made. What we got to do?
Rejoice.
Got to be glad, right? We got to believe what we say and what we sing, right?
Amen.
Those kids believe what they're singing. They believe God. Amen? He has made us glad. He has made us glad. And it goes on to say, not we ourselves. Might be a little bad King James English. Not we ourselves. I can't make myself glad. But God can. When I put on His garment, I got something to praise about. Jesus wore a garment, did He not? He was anointed with the oil of gladness. Hallelujah. That oil of gladness will make you happy. Yes, that oil of gladness will make you rich. The oil of gladness makes the devil sad because he's defeated. And when he sees you wearing it, you're glad, you're happy, you're victorious, and you know it. We know it because Jesus showed us. Amen. He defeated the devil. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and has risen. Therefore, I can rise to the occasion. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad He chose you. I'm glad He chose me to serve Him today. I am glad to be here. I'm glad. Jesus has made me glad. Hallelujah. I'll just minister all morning right there. Praise God. Chris, you got a blessed family. And they're standing up here and singing glory, singing for the Lord. We can all do great things through Christ who gives us the strength. Amen. Let's pray this morning together. Lord, we thank You, Father God. We thank You for the oil of gladness that Jesus, it was upon Him. He was full of gladness. He had the joy of the Lord because He was God. Jesus is God. Therefore, He is full of love. He is Jesus, You was anointed with the oil of gladness from Your Father. And we thank You, Father, today. That, Lord, Your anointing is still flowing. Still flowing through Your church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power that lives within us, Lord. That anointing has made us glad and continues to make us glad when things don't look good. We look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith, the faith that rises above and gives us the power to be glad and to say we're glad. Amen? Amen. That's what faith is all about, right? Believing things, saying things, even though things are coming against us that's contrary to what it might look like. If it came against Jesus and He said it and believed it, talking about faith, we can do the same thing. It's not my faith, it's His faith. And He has given it to us freely. That's called grace. We're saved how? By grace, through faith. Can't live without either one of them. Got to have both of them. Grace is God's part. Faith is my part in that grace that even God gave me. God has made me glad. Without God, I was lost in the world. But He was chasing me down. Even though I had messed up, He knew I would confess up to Him and He would clean up my mess. Amen? Don't ever look at anybody's mess that they're in because God can clean it up. That's not our part. That's His part. We're here to show them how much He loves us. Now, on that note, I'm going to turn the heat down just a little bit. Everybody comfortable? Get glad and get happy in the house of the Lord, your body temperature goes up because your heart starts a-pumping. Amen? If you need to get up and walk around while we're preaching this morning, while the Word's coming forth, you have liberty. If God makes you glad, sometimes you just can't sit down. You got to stand up. Amen? You know, a lot of times we see the movies on TV. Growing up, you see movies about Jesus. And there's another one coming out that it's going to be the Son of God. I think it's going to be a good one to go see. But I want you to know, Jesus was not sad. You know, and a lot of times we have to watch the movies we watch or the songs that we hear. Because if the Bible says he was anointed with the oil of gladness, he had a message of goodness. And when he's seen people that he ministered to receive sight, their ears be opened up and they could hear, legs come forth, arms come forth, guess what? He was excited. He was praising right along with them. He had the opportunity to minister that, to minister God's love and see it manifested, not next week, right then. And we, as His children, and as the New Testament church, we need to be expecting the same thing. Hadn't changed. We preach this message. We live this message. We walk it out. And we are continuing to finish the book of Acts. The book of Acts are still being written by what we do as a church. Amen? Because that's how faith works. It works by our action. Faith without work, James said, is dead faith. We don't have dead faith here. We have faith that does something, that says something, and it gives something. And God manifests the glory. Hallelujah. And it's going to get better and better. As the day approaches, the world gets darker and darker, but we get brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. The oil of gladness. Hallelujah. Let's sing it all day. Sing it until Jesus comes. But I'm here to say Jesus was happy. I get happy when I see people turn their lives over to Him, walk away from the trash, the mess that they're in, and go after God. It makes me happy. It makes me happy to see the kids and the youth here at the church all decked out. Kids are looking good, coming to church, glorifying God, ready to praise and worship God. And God's going to honor them. We honor God, and He honors us. He'll honor us in our actions and our attitudes, in our jobs and our families. We honor Him. He will honor you. He will raise you up to levels that you couldn't even imagine. When we trust Him and follow Him. Because that's who He is. The Bible says to humble ourselves under the mighty, not the weak, under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift you, exalt you up in due season. You know, when a farmer plants a seed, every time he plants a seed, there's due season coming. So we need to keep, every time we're coming to church, we're studying the Word, we're reading the Word, we're putting seed in the ground, and God gives the increase. So be looking for your increase every day. Not just Sunday, not when you get your paycheck. There's days in between that you've got seed in the ground. Be looking for increase. Be glad. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Why am I so happy when I give? Because I know I'm going to receive. Because that's what God said. He said if I give, He would give back to me. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And the Lord, when He adds it to me, He don't bring no sorrow with it. Amen? So He's glad. He has the oil of gladness. Why should I be sad if I give? Well, I could be sad if I give if I don't think I'm getting it back. But that ain't who God is. I used to be sad when I got paid because I didn't have enough money to pay. That wasn't enough. It never was enough until I met God, until He met me. I didn't meet Him. He showed up and met me. He came to me, and I just turned to Him. And then He turned my life upside down and started working it out day by day, little by little. As I started giving and trusting Him, He started bringing us out of that darkness, out of that mess that I was in, the mess that I was in, that I created. God don't create no junk. Amen? He doesn't create the mess that we're in. But He has created the escape that we can get out. And it's called Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the door that you need. Amen. On that note, I'd like to stir you up this morning, and I need to stir myself up this morning, about hearing God's voice. And we sang the songs this morning, you know, hearing God's voice and making right choices. And we need to know the difference between His voice, the devil's voice, our voice. You know, you have your own voice. I have a voice. And it can be against the Word of God or it can be with the Word of God. I've got to choose. But the Word is the dividing factor. We're supposed to rightly divide the Word and then let the Word rightly divide us. Amen? That's how we discern. That's how I make decisions. And I don't always do it right. Because if I don't hear Jesus, everything he did, he said, I hear the Father do. I see the Father do. And that's where we need to set our goal, set our focus to live victorious here on the earth until he returns. Doesn't mean we're going to hit it right every time, but guess what? He's always there to help us, to get us back up. If we fall 7 times, he's going to help us back up. Amen? So, about hearing God's voice, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, to the Book of Wisdom, chapter 4, verse 20, 21, we're familiar with this. But as a parent, maybe as kids, have you heard your parents? Did I hear my parents say something and tell me something one time if I heard them say it 100 times? Can you think about some things your mom, your dad might have said and said and said and said? Well, if I believed them and acted upon it and did what they said, guess what? They wouldn't have to say it again as many times, right? Well, the book of Proverbs, sometimes it says something in that verse, and then it'll go back down and it'll say it again and it'll say it again. How does faith come? Conjunction and hearing, right? So it's okay if your parents, Anna's parents, or kids, when you grow up and you have children, get used to it. You have to say it a few times and a few times and a few times. And you know what? Eventually, you're putting a seed in the ground. And if they'll listen to God, God will give the increase. That harvest can come up quick or it can come up slow. It all depends on them, how they want to grow. Amen? Because God's word is like water. It waters the seed. If we'll listen to him and let his water come down, fertilize the ground, fertilize that seed, it can come up a whole lot quicker. Well, hearing God's voice, if we hear his voice, knowing it's his voice, and then act upon that, then he brings the increase. He's not going to bring increase if it's not from him, because he can't lie. Right? So if somebody says something and it's not from God, and we believe it and act upon it, and it don't work out, don't blame God if that wasn't him. All things that are said and all things that are good might not necessarily be from God. It might be a good intention, but it might not be God's will for your life at that particular time. So it's critical. Hear from God. Hear what he says. Lazarus was dying, was sick and was dying. They wanted Jesus to go heal him. That was a good thought. That was a good thing. But Jesus, that was not what God said do. He said, stay the course. God told Jesus to stay the course. And Jesus knew what was happening. But we need to know God's will. A greater thing happened. He was raised from the dead. Because if Jesus is my friend, though I die, yet shall I live. That's the kind of friends I want. That's the kind of friends we need to hang around. Friends that speak life, that minister life. So see, that was a good intention, but it wasn't God's particular will. There were still other people that was on the Lord's path that he had to minister to. But he hadn't forgot about Lazarus. People thought he did, but he hadn't. So hearing God's voice is real critical in the age that we live or in the age that they lived in. It could be the difference between life and death, blessing or cursing, promotion or demotion, whether I hear God's voice and make the right choice, right? Let's say what God says. Let's do what he tells us to do. Proverbs 4:20, verses 21 tells us this. It says, my son, I'm going to say my daughter, because we're all God's kids. He doesn't see male or female. He sees children that he created. So my children, give attention to my words. In other words, show up. Give attention to. If you're to give attention in the army and the armed forces, you better show up. You better be at correct posture and attention. You better be listening and have focus on your instructor. You watch Gomer Pyle? Anybody watch Gomer Pyle? This sets a little bit of stage there. Gomer had a lot of mercy. You got to understand that wasn't exactly the attitude that instructor would take off of Gomer. But he had a big smile, didn't he? He had good intentions. He just had to be straightened out a little bit. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear, not your chair. Don't get inclined in the chair and fall asleep when God's speaking. Incliner. Incline, that means to listen to what he's saying. Incline your ears to my sayings. Not what Uncle John said. Now, if Uncle John said what God said, that's okay. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Well, if somebody's saying something, how can I be seeing something? Because God's word paints a picture. It's a Hebrew word. It paints a picture. Illustrates. God's word will paint a picture. It'll give you a vision. Amen. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Stay focused. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, God's words, they're life. Everybody say life.
Life.
God's words are life to those who what? Find them. And what else?
Health.
Health. Medicine. God's word is like a medicine. It's health to all their what? Flesh. Is my spirit flesh? My spirit. You can't see my spirit. I can't see your spirit. I can't see the Holy Spirit with these eyes. But with my heart, I know Him by the Word. Jesus revealed the Father to us, and the Holy Spirit is there to reveal Jesus to us. They're all the same. Now, I can't see Him, but I can see Him. Not with these eyes. But the Word of God says that their life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. It's a two-part promise there. Don't let nobody tell you when you speak this word over your body, over your children, that it can't bring health to them. Because it can. It will. If you believe it, it'll bring health and medicine to your flesh. The spirit is the key. The flesh, it promised nothing. But that same, this body was created by spiritual words. When God said in the beginning, let us create man in our own image. That image was a spirit image. That was the life of God, the very spirit of God. And He put it in, He made a body and He put that spirit, He breathed that spirit into that man. And he became. Okay, when you speak life into your body, it becomes. It becomes health. It becomes medicine. It becomes victorious. It becomes prosperous when you speak words of life. Speak life. Say what God says. And it can be health to all our flesh. That's step one, if you're taking notes. Hearing God's voice. As a believer, we have the capacity to hear from God. As a believer, you have the capacity to hear from God. Right? Okay. You come to church, you hear from the pastors, that's good. But when you leave here, you have the capacity to continue. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples. You are a disciple. We're a follower of Christ. When we leave here, we hear Him. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Amen. That's what we got to do, hearing God's voice. As a believer, now as a non-believer, it's not so. Now they have the ability, they can hear God and they can hear the devil. But they don't know which one's right. They're confused. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's not the spirit of error, it's the spirit of God. That's why they need to get saved and get born again. That old man needs to die and a new man, which is born from above. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus wanted so much to be able to operate in the kingdom of God. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, unless you're born again. And Jesus had not yet been crucified and had not yet been risen. He couldn't be born again yet, but He was coming to the right house. He was coming to Jesus. He was on the right road. Amen? Because He knew the road that He was following, the law. It was a bumpy road. It wasn't getting him what he needed to be. Jesus was preaching a new day, a new covenant. And it was going contrary against the law. Grace is different than the law. The law is what I have to do. Grace is what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus was preaching. Come to me. He was going to fulfill that law, the law of love. So as a believer, we have the capacity to hear from God. But doing it isn't always easy. Can I get a weak amen? Your flesh is always going to want to do the complete opposite of what God's Word says to do, me included. Just because you're a pastor, a minister, in a fivefold ministry, it is not. It's just as hard for me to go against the Word as it is for you. No difference. Because your flesh, this body, is not glorified yet. It's still in this sinful world, but your spirit is on the inside of you. It's not of this world. Recreated, you are in God, in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from Christ Jesus. Amen? That's your spirit, man. That's the real you. But your flesh, your mind, your will, your emotions, and this body are subject to sin. Subject to sin. Doesn't mean it can rule over you, but I'm subject to it. All I got to do is go contrary to what the Word says, and I can get into sin real quick. And that's the devil's kingdom. And that's what he's wanting to do. Well, we better go on with the message a little bit. But we're talking about hearing God's voice. There's many voices in the world making all kind of noise. But we must purposely listen for His voice. Right? Once we hear Him, respond. Be a faith responder. First responder. Amen? Once we hear Him, respond. And here's the few points I was talking about. Number one, attend to His Word. Show up. He's always there. The Word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in my mouth. It's in my heart. This is the word of faith that I speak. The Word is near me anytime. God is always, He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So God's voice can be heard through His written Word. That's what we just learned. Step number one. That's one way to hear God's Word. If all those voices are coming at you so loud that you can't make no sense of anything. Now this could happen when fear comes, when the tragedy happens. If your mind's racing and going crazy, just sit down and start telling it the Word. In other words, you got to say it. Get it out and say it. And then that starts bringing peace. It starts bringing wisdom on. It starts bringing God into the scene. I'm not saying you have to have this Word, written Word, but if you can't gather your senses and get your mind and those voices to be quiet, I know somebody who can. The written Word, you start speaking, that's speaking life. In that situation. And we're going to have plenty of opportunities because the devil's out there like a roaring lion trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we let him, that's his goal. That's what he's trying to do. But God, if God be for you, who can be against you? Question mark. Nobody. He stands. Number two, number one, God's voice can be heard through the written Word. Proverbs. Number two, let's go over to the New Testament, the book of John. John chapter 8. Say, I hear God's voice. I will make the right choice. Amen. You're speaking life right then. You're speaking life. John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32, God's voice can be heard through the written Word. Number two, speaking and acting on God's words will make you as free as Jesus is, not was. Jesus was in bondage to no man. When the devil came to him, he said, he has nothing in me. We can shoot for that. Because we have Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory. That doesn't mean we're perfect just like Christ. We're not sinless. We have the ability. Jesus was sinless. Sinless. But he still had to choose and say and lead the example for us. And he said the devil has nothing in him. Take no thought saying. How do you take sin? How does sin come? When the thought comes, we take it and we say it. That's why it's so important we're learning about hearing God's voice and then what we do and what we say. Your spirit needs to... Is anybody familiar with filters, how filters work? Water filters, air filters, any kind of filter. Water comes in, it might be... It's got all kind of chemicals, it's got all kind of minerals. Hopefully it doesn't have all kind of stuff in it. But it comes in and it goes through a filter and then it comes through your little spout. Or if you just got an ice maker, it comes through that little spout. Your spirit, my spirit, is the filter that we have to take and feel, let everything go through so we can have the pureness and the holiness of God's Word. That's the channel by which it comes through. Take no thought saying. When that thought comes, take it through your filter. You got to take it through the Word, through your filter. The Word of God is our filter. It rightly discerns between right or wrong. That's hearing God's Word, letting it come in and go into the inside of your spirit where the Word is, where you are, the real you. And then from that, we make a decision that comes out of our mouth. Then it goes to our brain, and our brain tells us what to say. We're talking split seconds, just like that. But God's Word, there's no distance, there's no time with His Word. And it's on the inside of us. And all we got to do is like draw it out like wells of living water. Whenever that thought comes, we got to look on the inside. We got to look to the Spirit. John 8:31-32 says, talking about the truth is will make you free. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall" what? "Make you free." And see, go flip on over to verse 33. Now, what did Jesus just say? He just said something very important to them. Let's read it again. "If you abide in My Word," His Word, "you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him. What did they say? "We are Abraham's." What's wrong with that picture? He just said, if you abide in My Word. Don't look to even to Abraham. Who was Abraham relying on hearing from? God. They answered Him, "We're Abraham's descendants." Oh, that Jesus was they always rejected the Holy Spirit. Jesus hated that religion. It's like He was trying to get them out of that. "And have never been in bondage to anyone." They just lied right there. They're in bondage right now. Don't know it. They're deceived. They were in bondage. "How can you say we will be made free?" How could He say that? Because Jesus was free. If you're free, you can help somebody else get free. If you're in bondage, you're confused. You're delusional. Amen? My mind's trying to go somewhere and I can't remember His name, but who was the great magician? Was he free? He was in bondage. He was always trying to escape. He's not free. Why would somebody that's free always try to get locked up and chained up and get set free? Because they're in bondage. Amen? He was not free. He was tormented. Tormented. I read this just yesterday. You know, we're familiar with Tim Tebow. And Gene Simmons, one of the lead singers for Kiss, made a comment toward Tebow. I'm not sure if y'all have heard it, but it was a good comment about, you know, leave the man alone. You know, he knows in what he believes in, who he believes in, and there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. I'm like, this is coming from somebody that is really off. Now, I'm not judging, but I'm judging the fruit that I've seen him in that organization, in that rock group. So I just pulled him up, and I wanted to hear, there was an interview that he gave another lady talking about his background. Gene Simmons was born in Israel. Born in Israel. You say, that's the Holy Land. Yeah. Born in Israel, dropped his Hebrew name, went through the Holocaust. There we go. There was the key the Lord was showing me. He went through the Holocaust, and he left Israel and dropped his Hebrew name. Because what? He believed God had forsaken him. The Holocaust, through Hitler, through all the oppression, all that fear, all that bondage, that oppression, he thought God, he thinks God has forsaken him. So what happens if you think God's not for you? You're just going to do whatever you feel like on the inside of you, and that's impression, that's molded by what the world wants you to be, which is the devil's. That's his kingdom, kingdom of darkness. You know, there's still hope for James Simmons. He's a smart man. up here. But that's not how I hear it. I don't hear God's voice up there. I hear it right in here. And let's just believe as a church that he can really hear the truth of God's word. That he did not leave him. It was not his will that he all those Jews be suffered and killed. Anybody. That was the devil working through a man, through Hitler. But God worked through a man by the man Christ Jesus and set us free. Amen. He just needs to hear the gospel, the true gospel of how much a Hebrew God sent his Hebrew son to set him free. Amen. And God can do it. All it takes is an open door, just a crack for him to, a crack in somebody's heart just to turn to him and set you free. But they said, you know, we're Abraham's descendant. I'm going to leave that there. But see, they went contrary. They would not receive his words. That's how we hear from God. We receive that as God's word. But see, it was a new covenant, new day. I'm not looking at them too critical because they were trying to come from the Old Testament law over to grace, and that's what Jesus was trying to do. And he had to, the word had to come against that religion, against the law. Grace had to be ushered in. So they still had time. This was before Jesus went to the cross. So he was just planting the seed. Jesus was planting the seed right here. He's throwing God's word out there against religion, against the law. New covenant. Point number three, number two, is speaking and acting on God's word will make you free as Jesus is. We can live as free as he is. If the Son sets you free, I'm free indeed. And he has set you free. Free from anything that has you bound. Number three, hearing God's voice. Let's look in John, flip on over to chapter 16. Is this all right this morning? We're hearing God's voice today, and we're going to continue to hear his voice because we're his disciples indeed, and we're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. It's going to make me free. Hallelujah. John 16, verses 13. Let's look at verse 12. Jesus speaking here in red. I still have many things to say to you. Is that still true today? Jesus is still, there's many things he has to say to us. We can't hear everything at all at one time. But as long as we continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're going to be filled. He has many things, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them, or that word them is italics, it wasn't in the original. It says, but you cannot bear now. However, not the end of the story. However, when he, capital H, talking about the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, not error, not doubt, but the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of God. Your third key is the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to you, will reveal the truth to you. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Not Abraham's not my guide. Even though Abraham is he's the father of faith. Moses is not my guide. He was the instructor. He brought forth the law. Now, how are we to be guided by God? Jesus was showing us of a new covenant. The same way he's being led and hearing God's voice is the same way the church would be led and hear God's voice. It's by the Holy Spirit of God. Not saying we're not taking nothing away from the written word, but when we don't have our Bible in our hand, we've got the Holy Spirit always with us, there to lead us and direct us and guide us, to help us make that right choice. He's our guide. He is Jesus in the earth, the Holy Spirit. Now, there are three different deities, but he is revealing Jesus. That is his ministry, to reveal Jesus to us. So in other words, we can say the Holy Spirit is here to reveal God's will to us in every area of our life, anytime. So we have no excuse of messing up. It ain't God's fault, it's my fault. Don't blame God, blame me. Don't even blame anybody else, just blame me. Blame yourself, and then get free. Amen? Just confess it. Jesse's famous about saying, admit it, quit it, and forget it. Go on. Continue on with God, right? That's liberty. That's called grace. Grace and faith. It takes faith to do that. To get up once you messed up and put faith back in that grace. God's ability, not mine. God's ability, that's His grace. Given to me on Jesus' behalf. Freely. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Give to others when they mess up. Give them grace. Give them mercy. Amen. Don't give them judgment. Judge with your heart. Judge with your eyes, but don't give them judgment. Give them grace. Give them mercy so they can be set free. Amen. The Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. Who is the truth? Jesus said, what? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The Holy Spirit will guide you to Jesus. In other words, wisdom. What is Jesus saying? Hearing God's voice. Into all truth, for He, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own authority. Now, He has authority. He can be bold. And we can hear Him, but it's not His authority. It's given. He's following command from God the Father and God the Son. His own authority, but whatever He hears, in other words, whatever Jesus says, He will speak. He will speak. He can speak softly or He can speak loud. I'm talking about He can speak. Your physical ears can hear it if need be. If your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife is in a critical situation and you're praying, you've got a covenant with God, He can speak to them loud, loud, loud if they need to get off of that road, get off of that course. If there's danger, the Holy Spirit can speak loud. Amen. Because He will tell us things to come. Verse 14, and Jesus said, and He will glorify Me. God takes no glory in death. He takes no glory in destruction, sickness, or disease. Amen? He's not. Now, He can do something to get some glory out of it, but He's not there putting on you to glorify Himself. He would be contrary to His Word. Jesus laid down His life. God didn't kill Him. Even salvation was freely given. And Jesus made that choice. And He chose that before he was even put into a human body. He chose before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That's how much God loved us. Before He even went through the pain and suffering, He died for you. He died for me. So, He will declare it and He will take of mine and declare it to you. I like 15. All things that the Father has. Does God have sickness? Does God have disease? Does God have poverty? His view of poverty is streets of gold. Mansions. Universe without end. Planets free from decay, destruction. We're talking about planets that just thrive and just however He's created them to be. No darkness, no gloom. No sickness, no disease. All things that the Father has, that'll stir up a lot of religion right there. That'll go against a lot of people's theology right there. See, when we take God's Word and let it get in the way of our opinion, then we're going to get blessed. When we take and set this Word down and go on my opinion, then we're not going to walk in the blessings of God. And it's a whole lot harder to go upstream than flow with the current. And I tell you, the world... And a lot of religion and churches, I'm talking about religion, those that do not follow Jesus Christ, it's easy to go with their flow. It's easy to come to church, make them feel good, talk a big game. But when you start going against and speaking against, calling what's evil, and you said, no, that's evil, instead of calling it good, then you're going against the flow. When we say what God says, if sin is wrong, it's wrong. We got to say that. We got to preach that. Amen. You won't be popular, but you'll be powerful in the kingdom of God. Amen. All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus said. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine. That's about time you need to shout right there. And He will declare it unto you. Now, there's a key, hearing God's voice. We're going to go to step four. Just because God has everything that's good and has all things that we need, and just because somebody's declared that to us, guess what? It don't automatically come to me. It's God's will. I mean, it was all laid out for us there in the beginning. But guess what? We have an adversary. It's called the devil. Before that, he was called Lucifer. Created by God, beautiful, perfect angel, until it said pride was found in him. He decided what God had created him to be. He didn't want to be that. I want to be like the Most High. Guess what? That's not our position. Amen. There's only one on the throne. His name is Jehovah God. We don't need to be seeking after his throne, and we need to be seeking after him. And then guess what? We get everything he has. But we do it his way. By love. Just receiving him. Not by going against him and going by against what he says. See, you know, that's where we got to go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says. A lot of the movies and things we've heard put in our minds is not always right. This is what's right. It's tight and it's right. Amen. It was inspired. Men were inspired by the Holy Spirit and wrote it so that we could read it, believe it, act upon it, and then God brings the manifestation into our lives. All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus said. Therefore I said that he, the Holy Spirit, he will take of mine and he will declare it to you. That's God's part. Grace, it's been declared. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it's finished. It's finished. Then the book of Acts was written. He was resurrected from that. And then he breathed on them after they believed on him. And they received the Holy Spirit. Now, the word's still being declared, but we got to act on it. Believe it, see it, say it, and act upon it. Number four, hearing God's voice. Look, flip over to Mark. Go back to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. I am glad Jesus made me glad. We might have to get them boys back here and sing that before we close. You think we could do that? Carrie, you think they'd come back here and sing it before we close? Mark chapter 4, verses 15. Mark. Mark talking about the parable of the sower sowing the word, how it was explained. And we're talking about hearing God's voice. That's the word of God coming. And remember, we hear God's word, it gets planted in our heart. Your heart is the same thing as your spirit. Your spirit's not an organ that pumps, but it's right there in the heart of man, in the center of you, in the center of this unit, in the center of earth. If you go to the map and look and get pretty much to the center, you're going to be right in the center of Jerusalem, the center of the earth. I'm talking about laid out, not the globe, but laid out. If you just kind of go to the center, you're going to be kind of pretty much right there in Jerusalem. Your spirit is in the center of your body, right here in the center of man, the heart of man. What is a center? It's where everything focuses on. It's where everything starts and comes from. Amen? So when we hear from God, we don't hear with these ears. We don't hear in your head. And this is critical to hearing God's voice. You hear on the inside. On the inside. That's the heart of man. That's the center of man. Be on guard. Mark 4, verse 15. Let me just take you back. Let's look at verse 13. Let's just start at the top. Jesus saying, do you not understand this parable? Jesus was just telling them about how the sower sows the word. And he says, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of the parables? In other words, in your Bible, you need to highlight this. And you need to put some sticky tape right here. And you need to read this and read this and read this and read this. Because if we can't as Christians understand this parable, Jesus is saying, how are you going to understand the rest of the Word? This is key. The Word of God is the key. The sower sows the Word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear the word, these are Christians. They receive the word. They hear the word. But when it's sown, they hear. And this is going to happen immediately. It happened to me. It's going to happen to any new born-again believer. It says Satan comes immediately, not 2 hours, not next week, immediately. When the word right here is being sown, guess what? The devil is going to try. He's trying to come right now by thoughts and steal the word from me, from you. When you walk out of here, he's going to get something going on. He's already got something stirred up. So, but don't let it ruffle your feathers. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is there to reveal us some things to come. Jesus is saying this because he wants us to know it, right? This is good teaching. Just know this. Know this. God is greater. Amen? God is greater. The greater one lives on the inside of me and the inside of you. Where the word is sown, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Well, you kind of read it and you're like, well, I don't even have a choice, it says, and the devil takes. No, he's talking about four different types of soil. These are those that hear the word, but they don't guard that word. In other words, that's God speaking, but they say, that couldn't have been God. That couldn't have been God. That's too simple to be God. No, I definitely don't want to love my enemy. That can't be God. That wasn't God speaking. I'm talking about God's word coming into your heart. Whether you hear it at a church service, whether you hear it on the radio in a song, if you choose not to receive that as God, you've let the devil steal that word from your heart. Because when you hear that word, we got to guard that word. It's precious. God's word is precious. It's a precious jewel when found. I need to sell everything I've got and make it mine. Anything I have, I've got to sell it and make it mine. That means I'm going to make God's word first priority in my life, right? Above my family, above my kids, above my wife. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because God will work that out. That's the tie that binds us together. It's His word. And keeps us holy and keeps us pure before Him. Be on guard, because the devil's out there to immediately come and try to steal that word before it gets in your heart. And I might have said this before, but Andrew Womack said this, and I think he had a lot of pecan trees when he was growing up. And I can remember this as a kid. You know, you take a pecan, you take any kind of seed and you sow it in the ground. And guys, we probably know this because we mow the yards more so than the women most of the times. But when you're out there, you know, before season, you're trying to get those little sprigs, those little things cut down, because guess what? It's easy to pull that little seedling out when he starts taking off, you know, just pluck him out of the ground, because you know one day that's going to be a tree. Well, see, as a kid, you know, you don't know that. You're just like, you know, happy-go-lucky. But as you get older, you learn that, man, I need to get that thing pulled up because I'm the one mowing the yard. And if that thing gets big, guess what? It's going to be a tree, and the next thing you know, the limbs are coming down to hit me in the head, because I have to prune those limbs back so I'm going to get knocked off the lawnmower. But that's the way the devil knows that. And he knows if he can get that seed out of your heart before it becomes a tree planted by the rivers of water, that when the rain's not coming, it's got so many roots down in the ground that it's still going to bring forth, and its leaves are going to be green, and it's going to have fruit, because it's got roots all the way down there in the river. Underneath. That's the way when God's word gets planted in your heart and grows and gets roots down. The devil knows that once you believe that God is your healer, guess what? If your first message you ever hear that God is good and He wants you to be healed, guess what the devil's going to try to do? He's going to try to hit you with everything he's got about sickness, coughs, colds, flus, because he knows if you get that word in your heart and you really believe that and you continue to meditate on that and you start speaking that and believing that, and once that gets rooted and grounded in you, when sickness comes, you'll stand up like that tree, and you'll wave your branch, and you'll speak to that sickness, and it'll have to flee. See, that you get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you won't be moved. You're like a tree that can't be moved. The winds come, they blow, but they can't blow you over. See, you just bend, but then you come right back. That's when you get anchored. The devil knows that. That's why he's trying to come immediately and get that seed out of your heart. Because he knows it's going to be a thorn in his side when it becomes a rose bush. Amen? That's all right. Keep putting the seed in there. Keep watering it. Stand on it. Act upon it. He's going to come. He came to Jesus, right? Tempted him. Jesus actually went to him, and the devil was there to tempt him, but guess what? He didn't find nothing in him. Didn't find nothing in Jesus. So when the temptation comes, guess what? Jesus. Speak His name. Declare His name. Wisdom's coming in. I shall not be moved, for greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. This is not my book. Poverty's not my book. No, sir. I have a book. My name's written in the book of life. God's kind of life. I have life. This is the word that's got to come out of your spirit. Those words that's been rooted and grounded in the Word of God. When the devil comes, immediately, get behind me, Satan. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus has overcome. I'm an overcomer. I'm overcoming this. I'm coming out. I'm the head. I'm the tail. I'm above only. I'm not beneath. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going on. This is the attitude you got to take when the devil is bringing his voices. You got to stand up and you got to be a voice for God. Amen. You got to speak louder. Sometimes his voices are speaking loud, 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 loud. I'm talking about the devil's voices. You might have to get vocally a little bit louder. But Jesus says, the Bible says that the finger of God, Jesus cast out devils. Just think about God. It only takes his little finger just to mess with the devil. Amen. I'm not talking, I don't have nothing in myself to defeat the devil, but I've got Jesus. You've got Jesus. He has given you authority and power. And you need to think about the devil when he comes around, just flick him off. He's a pain in the neck, right? Devil, he's a pain in the neck. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Flick him off. Get the word out there. Get behind me, Satan. Get the word out, because you got to fight him with the word. You can't fight him with just natural English. You can't fight him on what Terry believes. You got to fight him on what you believe. I can't get healed off of Mama's belief. I got to get healed off of Jesus, what I believe he is to me. That's when you take this word and you put it on the inside of you and it becomes personal to you and you build a relationship. That's when you get on the glory ship. Get a relationship with Christ and then you're on the glory ship. Amen? And you're going somewhere. That was number one. Hearing God's voice, the written word. If you can't hear nothing else, get in the Word of God and start speaking until faith starts arising on the inside of you. If there is no faith, there's faith in there. You're just looking for it. Start speaking the word. Call a friend. Call your pastor. I need somebody to get in agreement with me. Number two, speak and act on God's word. It will make you free as Jesus is free. Number three, the Holy Spirit within you tells you what God is saying. He's your guide. He's your compass. Amen. Number four, be on guard and know that the devil's coming immediately to come against your blessing, against your future. He's always going to be in opposition to what God is trying to do in your life. But that's not the end of the story. Number five, my last point today is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30 in the Old Testament. He said, we're going back from the old to the new. Guess what? Old Testament, Jesus concealed. New Testament, Jesus revealed. Jesus is in the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. The Old Testament is good as long as you know how to rightly decide who is speaking to. Is it speaking to the Jews? Is it speaking to the church? Is it speaking to me? Who is it written to? That's where I have to continually read and study. Amen? But in Deuteronomy, let me get there. I think I got fired up on that. Deuteronomy, what did I say, 30? Anybody know what a duo is? I ain't talking about like a test if you do a do-over, a do-y. A duo, like people that sing. How many are they? Two. Deuteronomy, I'm still trying to get there. Deuteronomy is the second telling of the law. How does faith come? Hearing and hearing. God never changes, does he? Even the law, he said it twice. The law in itself is not bad. It's good. It's holy. But he was speaking to an unholy people that sin had come in. God was trying to show them what the problem was. I never have been real good at talking and getting somewhere as I turn pages, so I just keep talking. Eventually I get there. 30 and 19, y'all didn't know that, did you? Thank you, Lord. We don't have it on the screen today, do we? Okay, this is Moses. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. Is God for you? Is God against you? Who's he said? He said, I call heaven and earth against you. That I have set before you. All right, just get a picture of this. You see these two plates up here, these offering plates? Two of them set before you. One of them has life in it. One of them has death in it. That don't even sound good, does it? Life, death. Life, death. Blessing? Blessing on the right side. Or cursing on the left side. Get a picture of that. Anything good is over here on the right side. Blessing. Bad, cursing. Therefore, don't even look at that. Which one you want? You want life or you want death? It's been set before you. God says, choose life. He's pretty smart, right? Smarter than I am. That both, not just me, but both you and your descendants may live. Mm-mm-mm. Just you have been good, but not only that, God says you and your descendants. Choose me, and I'm even working on your seed. I'm working on your offspring. Continue. I'll never keep chasing them down. I'm going to put people across their path that's going to minister to them. You might think, why does there always have to be a choice? Why can't I just have good? Why can't I just have good? Well, God knew the devil. God knew Lucifer, what he was going to do. So he had to give him a choice. He didn't choose. He chose death. He chose against God. So guess what? We have a choice too. To choose life or death. Free will. Free agents. God's not going to make us do anything. But he has provided everything that we need. And it's on the right side. It's life. It's in him. Anything apart from him is darkness. And it's going the opposite way. And that's called death. It's called the curse. Amen. And that's not from God. That's just going away from God. Everything he created was good. Even the angels have a choice. When he created the heavenly angels, they had a choice to fulfill their purpose, which was here to serve God's creation, to minister to those that will be heirs of salvation. That's what the Bible says. That's what the angels are there for. And they had other purposes. There's some in heaven that just go around the throne singing glory, glory. The holiness of God. But they have a choice to do that. They can either, if they can rebel against that and go contrary to God's word. And when they do that, they fall from grace. That's what Lucifer did. But God hasn't moved. He hasn't failed. And we have the choice. Stay on his side or go against him. I remember Moses when he was there was a big earthquake in the Bible. Moses went up on the mountain to get the law, get God's commandment, get God's advice on this situation. That was God's man. That was his leader. That was the pastor of the church. Over 2 or 3 million people. Once the pastor left, once the minister left, the devil was right there to try to... He was immediately there to steal the word that God had put. The deliverance God had sent them, Moses, he sent a deliverer. As soon as he leaves, the devil's immediately there to steal that word. They start making this calf and start doing all kind of evil in the sight of the Lord. Right there at the mountain, right there at the bottom of the... Right there in the parking lot, Moses is on top of the mountain. God says, Moses, let me just destroy this people and I'll create for you out of the rocks, I'll create you another people. Thank God Moses chose different, didn't he? Moses interceded. He said, Lord, don't destroy them. What would people in Egypt say? Lord, what would they think of you? You brought them out here and then out here to this mountain. Now they're just going to, you're just going to slay them. What would people in Egypt say of you, Lord? Moses was smart. God don't choose nobody that ain't got some wisdom about him, got some character about him. He said, no, God, you're bigger. You're better than that. God knew that. But Moses stood and interceded for the people. and save them from destruction. But there come a time where the people came against Moses again. I think it was Koran. And God gave them a choice that day. And He said to Moses, you know, tell the people that are against you, stand over here. And those that are for you, stand over here with Moses. And then y'all might be familiar with the story. I'd have to look it up. But there came an earthquake and swallowed up the ones that were against Moses. And they were never seen again. You know, you don't go against what God says. And He, you know, that was the old covenant back then. He's not sending earthquakes today. He sent Jesus that caused an earthquake. Amen? That was the last earthquake that God caused. The ground shook. But Jesus came out of that ground. And He don't send earthquakes no more. He sends love. Storms ain't coming. It ain't coming from God. Because He said, I'm going to pour my wrath out upon Jesus, and that's going to be the end of it. Never again am I going to be angry at me. Because every time He's looking right at Jesus. All God's anger has been poured out on Jesus. And Jesus, the earth swallowed Him up. But there was no sin in Him. And He came up out of the ground. Hallelujah. Oh, that was the earth shaking. Body raising. Hallelujah morning. When Jesus came up out of the ground. You ready to come up out of the ground? What's the devil been trying to mess with you with? Don't raise your hand. I know he's messing with me. Guess what? You know what today is? You've heard God's voice today. Amen? God has given you a voice. He's given you a tongue. He's given you a mind that you're going to start taking some authority over the devil and his kingdom. And you're going to see greater things this year in Jesus' name. Amen? But now I'm declaring it. God's Holy Spirit's letting me declare it to you. You got to see it. Whatever you see is not working. It's not from God. You got to see it. I'm declaring it, but then you got to declare it. You got to take it. And you got to say some things. You got to do some things. And stand your ground. Stand at attention and don't be moved. Don't be moved by what happens, what you see. Don't be moved and what you see our government, what happens with our government, anything. Now, there's a lot of riots going on in the Ukraine. All that stuff happened. You know, Kenneth Copeland's got a ministry down there, and I was agreeing and praying. You know, there's people in faith. God's got people. He's got His church in strategic places in the earth. And until Jesus returns, we're going to stand up and we're going to declare His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As long as the church is here, the devil is not going to, he's not going to accomplish all that he's set out to. Because we're going to stand against him, right? Going to stand against him. Stand against him. You know, Michelle and Mark, they're getting ready, not too long here, they're going to be united as husband and wife, together forever, and fighting against the devil. When two of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall happen. That's just a greater union that's getting ready to come together with God and come against the kingdom of darkness. Amen. I can see them working together and doing great things for the kingdom because they love God. They love their country, and they love their friends and their family, and God's going to use them to do greater things. Amen? Because we can do greater things with two than we can with one. In the Bible, they went out by what? Jesus sent them out two by two because He knew about the power of agreement.